that like drum roll, please? You like that? You like that? All right. Yeah, the main time I wear my glasses is when I'm trying to see the back wall and when I'm driving at night. So it's all good. Is everybody familiar with Casting Crowns, the group? Okay. Well, as I was prepping for the study, actually I was hoping to do it last Monday night because Kenny had a lot of To Know You type things, but the song To Know You, the whole reason we're here for this study is to get to know God better. So this song just kind of laid on my heart. Okay, we're going to be singing along with Casting Crowns because I hadn't gotten my other music yet, so I'm trying to work on getting that in. Come on in. And I understand there are a couple of new folks here tonight. So, hey, Mark, haven't seen you in a while, brother. Welcome. Glad you're with us. Hope you're already enjoying the study and looking forward to how God's going to bless each of us through it. Go ahead. Young Stan should be on the screen here in just a minute. I'm sorry, we're going to start that one more time. Slide it back. To know you is to... Oh, my Lord. I'm going to turn around and sing with y'all. To know you is to never give in to compromising. To know you is to want to tell the world about you. Cause I can't live without. Do the next one. To know you. That's not the screen. To know you is to know. To know you is to feel the pain of the brokenhearted. Cause I can't live without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm looking for. I live my life to know you more. Leave it all behind. You're all that satisfies. To know you is to want to know you more. To know you is to want to know you more. Is to look beyond the temporary. To know you is believing that you'll be enough. Cause there's no life without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for. I live my life to know you more. It all behind. You're all that satisfies. To know you is to want to know you more. To know you is to want to know you more. To you. To you, all I counted on is loss. Compared to knowing you, knowing you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for. I give my life to know you more. I leave it all behind. You're all that satisfies. To know you is to want to know you more. To know you is to want to know you more. Let's pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to be able to get to know you, Lord, through your word, through this study, through fellowship with one another, Lord, through song, Lord, through looking at your creation. God, your word's so clear that no one is without excuse. We learned that last semester in Romans, to not know you. So Lord, I pray each of us this semester will grow closer to you, each and every day as we complete this study. Father, as Waylon comes up front to lead us tonight, God, just pray that you'll give him a peace, give him words, Lord, that will speak to each of us where we need it as he goes through the overview. Things we pray in your son's precious name. Amen.
Good evening. Welcome back to Monday night Bible study. I always like to say TGIM, thank God it's Monday. And we had an opportunity to read God's Word, read two whole books, the book of Jonah and the book of Nahum. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes. I don't know if everybody's familiar. We have a little handout. If everybody doesn't have one, we'll make sure you got one. If somebody doesn't have one, raise your hand. Greg's got some extras. Greg, over here. Let's go. I'll introduce myself. Most of you, I see all these familiar faces, and that's always a blessing to me, but maybe a few don't know me. My name is Waylon Holden. I'm a local boy. I grew up in this community. It was a country community as I grew up, and now it's a metropolis community. It used to be 10 houses from I live 1 mile from the crossroad back down Forestville Road, and it was only 10 houses from that crossroads to the church, and now it's 10,000. So I have seen a drastic change, and so, but it's all of God's plan, and it's what He knew was going to happen, and I'm just thankful I can be here and be a part of it. I just celebrated my 38th anniversary with my lovely bride. We went away this weekend. We went up to Valdez, up to the foothills of the mountains, and visited a place up there called Trail of Faith. Has anybody ever been there? So I'm the only one? So I can tell you about it? It's in Valdez, and it's right before you get to Morganton, and it's a story about the Waldesians, if I'm saying that name right. But they were a group of Italians that were persecuted. It goes way back. They lived in the Alpines in Italy, and they were persecuted for their faith because they wanted to study God's word for themselves. And this was before the Reformation, and so they were persecuted for that. And so this is a little museum history area up there, but we had a good time going through that. And also we went to Linville Caverns, never had been there. Like I say, I've been here all my life, but never been to Linville Caverns, so we visited that. I figured that would have been a good experience, you know, because you go down in this cave and they end up turning the lights off, and we're studying about Jonah being in the belly of the whale, so I got a little idea of what that was like, because it's wet and it's moist, and it's only 52 degrees down there, so, you know, that was pretty neat seeing that. And I was a firefighter for 30 years. I retired. I loved the fire service, and that's a little bit of my history. Laura and I also, one night, we went out to eat every night, but we eat at a barbecue place, and I would highly recommend it. If you're going up 40, it's on exit 113. It's called J.D.'s Barbecue, and they have brisket, ribs, pork. It was really good, and all the sides you can think of. And We went in, and what you do is you order, and then you are taken to a table and sit down and bring the order to your table. And so we sat down, and like most barbecue places, it has these signs everywhere. And the table that Laura and I sat at had a sign right at our table, and I want to read this sign to you. I looked at it, and I thought, that's interesting. You know, we're celebrating 38 years of marriage. This is what the sign said. One of the nice things about being imperfect is the joy it brings to others. And I thought, there it is. There's the answer right there. You know, that's how she stayed with me all this time, because she had a lot of imperfect to deal with right here. So, you know, I thought, what a perfect table for us to sit at. But I thought also about our study and Jonah. And we see Jonah the prophet, one that God calls, is imperfect. And we also see about a people, not only the Ninevites, and we know the wickedness of them, but also God's own people, the Israelites. And so I kind of thought about, you know, there's imperfect throughout the world, and we see it, you know, day in and day out. The title of the lesson tonight is Go and Tell. The quote is like this: the purpose of pruning is to improve the quality of the roses, not to hurt the bush. Florence Luther, I think is how you pronounce her last name. We're all imperfect. We live in an imperfect world. We see that every day. And I kind of really wanted, how do I introduce us to Job and Nahum? How do we do an overview? Because, you know, like I say, we read the whole chapters of both of those books, and there's so much going on there. And I thought what I would do is, and for those of you who were in the Bible study last year, we studied the book of Job. For those who weren't in the Bible study last year, you're kind of going to get a freebie here. You're going to go back to Job. So those of who took the test, and I'm not going to give you a test. I don't do tests, but we're going to go back and we're going to look at Job. And I'm going to let the word of Job introduce us to Jonah and Nahum. So we know that Job had to have a little problem. We know that Jonah needed a little pruning, and we also know that Judah, the people of Israel, needed pruning, and also we saw it with the Ninevites. But I kind of wanted to take us back to Job, so I'm going back to Job, and the first part of the lesson is all mankind. And I'm going to read from Job chapter 12, verses 10 through 23. Now, as I'm reading these verses, or as you read along with me, because it's going to be up here on the screen, think about the sovereignty of God and how he is in control of all things. And as we saw that this week, as we were reading, you know, with Jonah and Nahum, we saw the sovereignty of God and how he is over all things. Not only Job and all that happened, Jonah and all that happened to him when he ran from the Lord, but also with Nineveh as a people, and just how he's involved in all things in humanity and all humanity. Picking up with verse 10. In whose hand is the life of everything? And when I read that right there, I thought, we read something about a plant, didn't we? We read something about a worm, didn't we? And we read something about the second part, and the breath of all mankind, the Ninevites, the people of Judah, Nahum, Jonah. That's kind of what I want you to focus on as we're going through this. Just think back to what you studied this week with Jonah and Nahum. Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men, and with the length of days understanding. With him, being the Lord, with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. At this part in Job's, he's speaking back to his friends. They have really been giving him the what over. He exalts God here of who God is and all his sovereignty. That's what he's doing here. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If he imprisons a man, there can be no release. I know Jonah said, thank God he released me from the belly of that fish. If he withholds the water, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. Listen to the verbs that Job is getting ready to use in God's word about the sovereignty of God and him being in control in these next section. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away plundered and makes fools of the judges. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds their waist with a belt. Nahum spoke about that as far as the rulers, the nobles, and the leaders of the Assyrians in Nineveh. He leads princes away plundered and overthrows the mighty. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and disarms the mighty. He uncovers deep things out of the darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. And here's the one I want to draw our mind around as we're studying Jonah and we're studying Nahum. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. When we look at this section here of Job, it really kind of introduces us to the sovereignty of God over the nation of Assyria, over the nation of Israel, over Jonah, also over Job. But we just see that God's sovereignty is over all these things. So that's kind of like, I thought that was a great introduction to what we're looking at in the study of Jonah and Nahum as the sovereignty of God, and how we'll see how he's over all things in these books and in our lives and in the lives of these that we'll study about. Second part of this lesson tonight, and it's going to be a little short tonight. It's just an overview. There are so many things. I mean, we read, like I say, two whole chapters, so it's a lot to cover tonight. But as I was studying and looking at different commentaries, reading different things, trying to prepare myself, I found out there was one unique thing to Jonah and Nahum that is unique to those two books only in the Bible. None of the other books of the Bible have these two unique similarities. Only Jonah and Nahum. Does anybody know what that is? Excuse me, Paul? Do what now? Written to the Gentiles. That could be unique, but there's actually other books, you know, that we find may be written to the Gentiles. That may be one. I'm not exactly sure. That's not the one I have, and it may be. But I found this interesting. These two books are the only books of the Bible that end with questions. No other book in the Bible ends with questions except for Jonah and Nahum. So it's kind of what I wanted to take a look at tonight with this second section here of Jonah and Nahum. Jonah was to go tell Nineveh, which was the great city of Assyria, that capital. He was to go and tell them that a judgment is coming. The book of Jonah reveals to these Ninevites that there's going to be a judgment. But it also reveals that God's grace, his loving kindness, his mercy now extends to the Gentiles, as Paul was speaking of. Not only just to the people of Israel, his people, the nation of Israel and Judah, but God is showing his grace, his mercy, and his loving kindness to the whole world. We see that in Jonah's sharing this with the Ninevites, doing what God's called him to do. And he's doing this with the Gentiles, with the nations. Not, you know, he wants to show his mercy to all nations. Now, and when we think about the Ninevites, they were the original terrorist. That's how wicked these people are. Does anybody, and I think it was part of the commentary, it talked about where Nineveh relates to today's world. Where was it? Mosul, which is in Iraq. So I thought about the atrocities that happened there, and even we see it today in that area with Saddam Hussein, what happened there in that area with these people. And here's the question that God puts to Jonah. And I'm just going to read part of it. He says, "And should I not pity Nineveh, the world's first terrorist?" God asked Jonah, "Should I not pity Nineveh?" The point here is that the imperfect prophet, Jonah, remember, Jonah had his little moment to start with. He's going the other way, remember? When the Lord first spoke to him, he went the other way. Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for any of you in here, but I've been there, done that. Been right there, done that, gone the other way. But I praise God for second chances, like he gave Jonah, and third chances, and fourth chances. That's a long-suffering God. Remember, in our study of Romans, that's one of the things Paul spoke to about those who were judging those who were doing all these things in the world. And Paul says, well, if you judge them, you're judging yourself because you've done that. He says, have you forgot what led you to repentance? The goodness of God's long-suffering, his forbearance, which means tolerant. He's tolerant with us. And so we see that that's what the imperfect Jonah, he brings to the table to the wicked nation of Assyria and the people. He brought them a joy of knowing the grace of God and knowing what it was like to be under God's mercy. And the second part of the question, that was Jonah's question at the end, Nahum. And this is approximately 100 years later. We know that the people of Nineveh, when Jonah brought that message to them, they did what? They repented. They turned. They were convicted. They cried out in sackcloth and ashes. They repented. They turned. And so God relented judging them. Well, and about 100 years later, the people, they go back to their wicked ways, their evil ways. And here Nahum, he's called to go and tell Judah, my people. Nahum speaks to God's people and Judah. He's speaking to them about what God is going to do to the nation of Assyria and to the people of Nineveh. He says, he says, if they are your enemies, God talking about his people, if they're your enemies, they're my enemies. And I'm going to take care of them for you. God would bring judgment on Nineveh and the nation of Assyria for all the evil that they had done to his people. God would destroy that nation. Now, here's the question at the end of Nahum. And he's speaking to the nation of Assyria, but also Nineveh. He says, for upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually? Assyria, if you got in their way, they just wiped you out. Big, little, it didn't matter. They were just a nation. And God used them in some ways to get people's attention and to bring people back to himself, especially his own people. But I like what actually Nahum says about their wickedness. He says, the Lord will take vengeance on his adversary. There's nobody that really gets away with the wickedness that they think they can get away with. God holds all people accountable. So what are we going to learn in this study? Jonah and Nahum in this study is going to teach us it's all about a sovereign God. God's in control. God has a plan. God's personally involved in our lives and other nations, and God has a plan. And so we see that in here. Through his grace, these imperfect people of Nineveh and the world has an opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord. We see that that's what this study is going to show. God's grace through repentance, and also God's judgment for those who don't repent, who are full of evil and wickedness. That kind of brings us to the last part I've got here tonight, our story. What's our story? What's the application there? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved what? The world." And then in 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved." Our story is to carry that to the world, that Christ came to offer grace and mercy and loving kindness and compassion from his heavenly Father for those who would believe. He's sending us out just like he sent out Jonah, just like he sent out Nahum, to go and tell of his compassion, his grace, his mercy. And sometimes, which a lot of times we don't like to talk about today, we have to speak of his judgment. Today's world doesn't like to hear about judgment, but God also will judge those who won't accept his grace and his mercy and his love and his compassion through the gift he gave with his Son. I want to close tonight with Mark chapter 5. I love Mark chapter 5. Or either, I think it's Luke chapter 8, the demon-possessed man. Remember, Jesus is coming across the boat of Galilee, and he comes up on the demon-possessed man, and the demon-possessed man comes out, and he meets God, and he meets the Lord, and it's kind of like right there in front of one another. And he calls out the demon, and the demon comes out, and he says, you know, "My name is Legion. There's 5,000 or 6,000 of them." And he asks for the Lord to cast him into the swine, and the Lord cast them into the swine. The swine run down there, jump in the water, and they, you know, drowned. And the people are like, "We don't want none of this. These are Gentiles. They don't want none of this." You know, they lost their income with the swine going into the water, and they're saying, you know, "Leave us alone." But they see this demon-possessed man who had just truly been the imperfect one. Everybody just feared him. You know, he was away, run out there naked, cutting himself, screaming all the time. They see him clothed and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this is what I want you to listen to. Verses 18 and 19. "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "got into the boat," he, speaking of the demon-possessed man, "who had been demon-possessed, begged him that he might go with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him," listen, "go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Go and tell." We're all imperfect. We all play Jonah every now and then. We all, whether you may think you are or not, in the eyes of God, sin is sin. That's why he went to Nineveh, this people who was horrendous, the original first terrorist, to offer them grace and mercy. Here is this demon-possessed man. Now Jesus sends back to go and tell your family and friends what I've done for you. That's our story. Go and tell. Go and tell. And that's the amazing thing I'm looking forward to as we study this, is how we'll see how God speaks to Jonah and he speaks to his sovereignty over all things, a nation and other nations. Let's close in prayer. Father, your word is living. Your word is active. Your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, there will be much for us to learn. And God, you desire for us to learn much, to know you better. So, Father, open our ears, open our eyes, and open our hearts, Father. Lord, we thank you. We praise you that you would allow us to go and tell what you have done in our lives. We look forward to, Father, as we go through this study, each and every day, understanding a little bit more about what you would have us to do and going and telling others about you. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your long-suffering. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your compassion. And Father, we thank you that one day your judgment will come on those, Father, who persecute those, Father, who walk in your name. God, we love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.